Okay, and your name's Corbett Levins.
Yeah.
And what kind of fishing do you do particularly?
Well, I do several different types of fishing, but I'm primarily a fin fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
I catch, in this area right here, mullet is our bread and butter fish. That's our year-round fish.
Mm-hmm.
But we catch pompano, trout, mackerel, you know, all bottom fish, trout, and all those different types. Yeah.
And so you grew up learning how to do this? Did your father do it?
Yes.
Did your whole family do it?
Yes. All my family was involved in it. And I guess my father and I together is probably about 75 or 80 years right here in Lee County.
Uh-huh.
Fishing.
Do you have any children? Are they fishing as well?
I have two daughters. No, they're not. They're not fishing.
Yeah. What kind of special equipment do you use for the fishing that you do?
Well, right now we use primarily gill nets, okay? And
what's a gill net?
A gill net is a net that is designed to fit a certain size fish or a particular species of fish. And he just runs into it, and we call it a gill net because he goes through this mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops on his, after it gets through his head, gets through it, you know, and it catches him back with the gills. So we call it a gill net.
So he just gets stuck in
he
it?
He just gets stuck in it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where do you get your gill nets?
Different places. It depends on who's got what we want, because we order them out of, there's several net companies here in Florida. There's some in Tennessee, some in North Carolina, some in Texas. Even in Seattle, Washington, we order some. It depends on just what specific type of net you want, and you just call around and find what you want. Basically, all of them come from California. I mean, they're Japanese made.
Uh-huh. So, okay. are there any people who make nets around here or used to make nets that you?
We never made the gill nets. Okay, not hand making them like you saw in the film.
Uh-huh.
There's people that makes cast nets, and,
uh-huh,
you know, and we mend our nets, but we don't make them. It's, we buy the bunt.
Uh-huh. When you go out, how long do you go out for?
That depends. It depends on the year of the season. Okay. It depends on summertime. Basically, we're away from the house about 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours, depending on how much we catch, because of there's several factors that's involved there. One reason is the quality control, you know, because we catch our fish, we get them in salt water, we get them chilled and everything. We can't hold them too long like that. We've got to get them to the plant. And another thing is that your tide is shot, so then it's best to go like early in the morning and then come back home and then go back later in the evening.
Excuse me, just a minute. I'm going out with the kids. They want a little something out there, so.
I'll be out in a minute.
Okay.
And so, you know, sometimes you make two trips in one day.
Yeah. Do you sell them to fish houses?
Yes, we sell them to a wholesaler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he buys all of our product.
Mm-hmm.
And then he distributes them or sells them other to wholesalers, retailers, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or ships them.
Mm-hmm. I interrupted you. You were saying sometimes you make two trips a day.
Yeah. But it's not, years ago we didn't do that, okay? But because of it being highly competitive, because of the pressures that's on us, because of so much extracurricular stuff that we're involved in now, trying to stay in business,
uh-huh,
other than just from a financial standpoint, you know, trying to the laws that's regulating us, trying to get good, adequate laws, you know, just trying to, we have to appear before county agencies and stuff like that, just having to fight because it's a constant battle, because somebody's always coming up with it. Well, they think we ought to do this, and then they petition a regulatory action or something, you know, and then we have to go in there, and so it's time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Is it a way of life that you recommend? Or?
No. You'd have to grow up in it. It's right now it's too... it's too hard a life, okay? Fishing is made up of a life. You've got to love it. You can't do it. You can't survive. You can't be successful unless you do love it, okay? And it involves a tremendous amount of hard work. And most people today are not willing to work as hard as you have to work, you know, to be successful at it. You know, it's just like that shrimper said, you know, hey man, wake me up in the middle of the night. You know, well, sometimes we go night and day. When the fish are here, we produce them. Uh-huh. And because we know that it's only going to be a short period of time, and boom, they're moving and they're gone. So when they're here, we produce. And we stay with it. You know, there's been a lot of times I went 60, 70 hours and never pulled my trousers off. You know, you just lay with it, you know. And you just, because you know that it's going to come to an end, and when it does, it, that's it.
Do you see any difference in fishing on the East Coast and fishing on the West Coast? What's the main difference?
It's a different fishery. It's totally different. And it's not just that. I mean, you go up the coast here and you get above Tampa and get up in what, you know, up in the Bend, Big Bend area of Florida. It's totally different, you know, because they have a different size fish than we have here. They have a different environment, if you will. You know, like you get up around Homosassa, Crystal River. They have a lot of rock bottom there, you know. And so that's, they have to use different equipment and everything. So it's a totally different fishery than we have here. And the same thing down in Florida Keys, that's a totally different fishery. So it's a very, that's why I say it's not only diversified as far as different, as you go up and down the coast, trying to catch the same species, but each individual fisherman has his own little characteristics that diversifies him from the other one, you know. And so you find the area over the years that you like, that you can catch fish and produce fish in, and you work in that area, okay? And so, like these boys here, now, there's times that he'll outproduce me, and there's times I'll outproduce him, because when the fish start acting just like I like to fish, I produce, okay? Uh-huh. When they start acting just like he likes to fish, then he produces. So it doesn't mean that one's a better fisherman than the other. It's just it's a lot about liking, you know?
What about the part of the video regarding superstitions? Do you
I don't have any. I don't have any. Okay, I just don't. I'm just not superstitious at all. Some fishermen are. People, you know, you can believe, if you believe something strong enough, it can be a reality. And a lot of them believe, you know, if you turn your poling oar around in the boat, that's bad luck, you know. And if they let that run through their mind constantly, I'm not going to catch no fish because you turn that thing. Well, fishing is more than just that. You got to, in order to catch fish, you got to think fish, okay? You know what I mean? Your mind has got to be totally upon fishing. And because if you're riding down the bay and you're thinking, well, I got to go up there and appear before that committee, or I've got to go do this or that and the other, you're driving down the road. Have you ever driven places and you don't even remember crossing a street or a bridge or something? That's what happens. You ride by thousands of pounds of fish and never see them, okay? And so you've got to think fish, and when you're thinking fish, then your eyes are just pick up anything that would signify that there's fish in that area.
Do you take out certain nets when you know certain fish are running?
Yes.
So you can change them if you see that something else is there?
Yes. Well, I don't take two nets at one time. I take, if I'm going mullet fishing, I pull on a mullet net. If I'm going pompano, I pull on a pompano net. If I'm going mackerel fishing, I pull on a mackerel net. These are all different nets, and that's why it's become so expensive to fish, because we're having to use more nets we're used to years ago. Like for mullet, we only use two nets a year, two different sizes, okay? Now, I've got about seven nets that I have to use because of the market, okay? The market wants, as the fish progress from, say, from the spring of the year when they're small, as they grow in each month or two, or about every 6 weeks or so, they'll grow. So we'll go from what we call a 3-inch mash to a 5/8 mash to a 6/8 mash, or let me put it, from a 3-inch to a 3 1/4 to a 3 1/2, you know, and keep graduating up as the fish gets bigger. See, because that market will only buy that particular, they want the biggest product that's available. They don't want
during
this little
season.
They don't want that little one. That, although there may be a lot of these, they want this one. So the market controls us.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's what really regulates us, okay, is the market. Like Steve said, the price just will force you out. If they're catching a lot of mackerel, say, in Cortez or Tampa, you know, and they get a real run of fish there, well, our market drops. It's like produce. If you got a lot of tomatoes, everybody got tomatoes come in one time, you can go out there and pick your own for anything, you know. So it controls it. So it gets to where it's not feasible. So we quit it. Now, that's one good thing about fishing is that we can quit and not hurt the resource, okay? It's not like farming. That farmer's already got his money in the ground.
Uh-huh.
We don't have any money other than our initial investment in that net. We can put that net in a room and wait till next year, okay? That farmer can't. He's got his fertilizer. He's got his plant. He's got his labor. He's got all of that involved in it. So he's got to get something out of it. He's got to at least try to cover his costs. We don't have to do that.
Are there certain fish that the general public is eating now that y'all don't want to eat? I know some trash fish that...
Yeah, there's a lot of underutilized species that we have here now that are beginning to be a real marketable item. But primarily most of this is not staying in this country. It's going to the Philippines, Hong Kong, Taiwan, places, because it goes back to the culture. You know, the certain cultures like a different type of fish, like the Hawaiians, and then they like the real dark meat type, the jackfish, the jack crevalles, the bonitos, the kingfish, or something like that nature is real dark. Or, as we call it, a bloody fish. It's real bloody fish. It bleeds a tremendous amount. Now, they like that, but other cultures don't want nothing to do with that because it has a stronger taste.
What do you prefer to eat?
I'm a mullet man. Roots of a raisin, you know. Okay. And I prefer the mullet.
How do you fix it?
Primarily, we fry it. We fry it. We barbecue it. We bake it. Make fish cakes out of it. We boil it. We can fix it any way you can any other fish.
I had some smoked mullet. That was real good.
Yeah, it is good. It is real. And that's an art, too, in smoking mullet. Everyone can't smoke them. You know, it's like everybody's not a good cook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think they ought to make a saving lotion that smell like smoked mullet. Then that would identify us, wouldn't it?
Huh? That would. Huh? You'd be the mullet man for sure.
Yeah, there you go. You
just my man out. Wears no mullet or nothing at all.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, let's see.
From any other industry, I think I just view us as truly the only last free enterprise system that we have in America. You know, well, we're solely independent on ourselves. We don't depend on nobody. We buy our own equipment. We produce a product. We sell it. It's the true free enterprise system works in our industry. I don't know of any other one that's like that anymore. And we're totally independent. You know, although we may all fish for the same company, there's no the company doesn't own us. We just fish because we choose to fish for that particular. Man, you know, we can sell our fish anywhere, you know, go and come as we please. And this is what's attractive to young people. They say, I like fishing. They like to get out there, and because it's totally free, they can get up when they want to, go to bed when they want to. But if they're going to be successful, they're going to find it's a very hard life. And once they get involved in it, they say, no, I don't want no part of it.
Do you find that there are... You still have a lot of people who are fishing, continuing to fish?
Yes, yes.
Well, if they're born to it, then they...
Yeah, you see this, and I share this view, you know, that we cannot totally, everybody be a computer expert. We're going to have some people here that can still work with their hands,
uh-huh.
Okay, that knows how to work and how to produce. There's a lot of children today that really... A college education is not the best thing for them, okay, because of they're not interested in it, okay? So why not take that person and let him do something that he enjoys doing, you know, and he'll be happy and he'll be successful at it, maybe not in the terms of making a lot of money, but at least he'll have a happy life, okay, and a productive life, you know, where he won't have it if you go give him a college education. And And I'm not opposed to education, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking against education, you know. But we need these kind of people. And there's a lot of young men today that don't need to be involved programs that the county has where they can go learn a trade.
Oh, like CETA programs or something?
Well, it's CETA, yeah, but they got one out here, and I can't think of the name of it now. where they can,
I know what you're talking about.
Where they can go and learn a culture because they just enjoy being a mechanic. And they can go learn how to mechanic or weld or whatever they like to do. You know, and I think that's very important. You know, and that's the reason we do it because we like it. Okay, and that makes us successful. Okay, because there's no money in it. Okay, but it's, you're successful. It's a rewarding life. It has a lot of fun. There's a lot of serenity in it. Okay, and it, you know, because you're that close to the environment all the time. You know, when you're going out in the morning and all the wildlife is just coming to life. You know, they've been on the roost all night. You know, and everything's just coming to life. And, you know, and those things, you know, and it's just a lot of little things like that. Or laying out there waiting for the sun to go down so that you can begin mackerel fishing, you know, and you're laying out there and it's calm and you know, you just hear the birds and there's nobody else around you for miles, you know, and you're just sitting there and the sun's going down and you know, and it's just, you know, it's just, there's a serenity about it, okay? And that's peaceful. And those things are things that make it a way of life that you don't want to give up. Okay, those kind of things.
That's